The Takeaway is supported by the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org. You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
The northern sky is a beautiful thing, McIntosh.
None of you will get my kingdom. I leave you nothing that I wish you plague.
Leon, I want you to teach me how to be like you.
Oh, stewardess, I speak jive.
Let's talk movies with Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer. It's that time of year, Christmas, a huge blockbuster movie release moment. It's also the last moment to get movies in for Oscar contention, so there's that sort of backstory as well. Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, co-host of the Movie Date podcast. Good morning, Rafer.
Good morning.
And Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway and co-host of the Movie Date podcast as well. Kristen, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You know, let's start. We got two big movies released today and lots more by the end of the week, but there's also a relatively obscure movie, a small movie. Is it an indie movie to call Albert Nobbs indie?
I guess you could call it an indie, yeah.
All right, so in limited release, this film stars Glenn Close. Kristen, give me the premise.
We have a woman who, in the late 1800s in Ireland, is posing as a man so that she can have employment as a butler.
Let's listen to a clip.
I've been thinking I might purchase a little business.
Oh, what kind of a business?
Perhaps a little shop. I'm thinking maybe tobacco.
Oh, well, yes. A tobacconist, not... That would suit a man.
But a woman could serve at the counter.
Yes, indeed, a woman could.
The King's Speech meets cross-dressing? No one would doubt the talents of Glenn Close.
She is spectacular in this, and she actually played the same role in, I think it was off-Broadway back in the 80s. And so she's reprising this role. She's very invested in it. She helped co-write the script. And I have to say, though, that the best part of the movie for me, there were two things. The upstairs, downstairs, we have the butler and the rest of the staff so that's working in this high-end hotel.
Right, right. And for people who don't know the PBS classic or the literature, it's class struggle. It's the classes in Britain that really is the narrative.
Absolutely,
here.
Absolutely. Yeah. But there's also a romantic subplot that's happening. But I thought the cast was just spectacular.
Really?
Obviously, Glenn Close is always very good. And there's Jonathan Rhys-Meyers in this. There's Mia Wasikowska. There's Aaron Johnson, who we've had on the show before. Great cast. But the real standout is Janet McTeer.
Really?
Who is so phenomenal. I would not be surprised if she won an Oscar this year for
an
supporting actress.
Broadway actress.
She was fantastic. Yeah. She also plays somebody who's living not quite fully on the surface what she seems to be in the film.
All right,
and
quite an endorsement from Kristen Meinzer for Albert Nobbs in limited release. Catch it around the country. Now, the two big movies that come out, The Adventures of Tintin, or Tintin, Steven Spielberg, Peter Jackson. Who doesn't love Tintin? Who doesn't love Steven Spielberg? Who doesn't love Peter Jackson? Rafer Guzman, how does Tintin work? It's an animated film.
It's a motion capture film, which I interviewed Steven Spielberg about this film, and he chose motion capture because he wanted to be so faithful to Hergé's artwork, Hergé, the author of all the Tintin books.
And motion capture is essentially the style that was used in Polar Express, where
Polar
it kind of looked like Tom Hanks, but it's animated.
Right. Polar Express, okay. Avatar as well.
Right.
Motion capture has a mixed track record. To me, I would have much rather have seen real actors, real sets. Spielberg is very faithful to the Tintin books. You know, there's times when he'll just, map out a direct panel from the book and just put it up on the screen. It looks beautiful. I would have much rather seen real sand, in the desert, a real pirate ship. And I would have rather seen real actors putting their stamp on these characters.
Right. Is that a stylistic question or is that...
For Spielberg, it seemed to be purely an aesthetic decision. I asked him if it was logistics, expense, because there are some huge set pieces, these, marvelous things with, two pirate ships swinging around, hooked together in the ocean. These incredible, these incredible sequences he stages. But he said it was totally aesthetic, and he just wanted to capture the look of the artwork as much as he could. To me, that seems like the wrong choice. I would have rather seen real faces on those people.
Intrigued but falls flat, I think, is the assessment from Rafer Guzman. Kristen?
I have to agree. I did not like the animation style. I would have actually liked to have seen it all animated in kind of old school style,
that would
personally,
have been
because
too,
it would
yeah.
have been playing homage to – the style that it was really drawn in.
The opening credits are an old-fashioned 2D animation, and they look actually
fantastic.
Quite good.
They're really, yes. really great.
And what is it about this motion capture business? Because Polar Express had some problems. That was a collaboration with Spielberg and Robert Zemeckis.
Right. It just looks creepy.
It looks creepy. I think that's the deal.
It is. It's what they call the uncanny valley, right? It's that little gulf between something that doesn't look human, like let's say Mickey Mouse, and something that looks almost human but not quite. Right?
Pixar keeps it definitely not human, but very naturalistic.
Yes. Exactly.
And, of course, you know, 2D animation is cel. They don't look anything like people, although we buy it. But you get too close.
Right.
And people go, ew.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. And again, you know,
did Spielberg respond to that? Did Spielberg? I asked
some of the people at Weta. You know, it's Weta Digital, the guys who did Lord of the Rings and Avatar.
Immensely talented, brilliant.
Hugely.
People.
I mean, they're really the only game in town when it comes to motion capture. And, you know, the two guys said two different things. You know, I asked directly about the Deadeye effect, and one guy said, you know, we don't think about that at all. And the other guy said, no, we thought about that very, 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 very
wow.
carefully.
That's interesting.
So I got a little bit of mixed message on that one.
All right. So then the other huge release is The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. This is the American adaptation of the Swedish novel that have sold 50 million copies.
Yep.
Here's a clip.
You will be investigating thieves, misers, bullies, the most detestable collection of people that you will ever meet. My family. This is Harriet.
Someone in the family murdered Harriet, and for the past 40 years has been trying to drive me insane.
You've got Norwegians, you've got sex, you've got murder, you've got Christopher Plummer, you've got Daniel Craig, you've got director David Fincher. Kristen?
Mm-hmm. You have kind of the same movie that already came out from Sweden, a lot more polished looking, a great cast in it. But I felt kind of the same. I had the same problems with this as I did with the first. Gratuitous violence was unnecessary. Sometimes the story seemed that it didn't know where it was going.
Although Tarantino fans will love that, right?
Oh, absolutely. So they're going to love it. Yeah.
So, Rafer?
You know, I felt a little the same way. You know, I mean, Fincher, I think, is one of the last great stylists in the movies. But somehow this film, he couldn't find a way to marry the old-fashioned detective work, which is one plot, you know, the hunt for Harriet, as we heard, and the goth punk heroine of Lisbeth Salander.
Although I bet it's going to be like Twilight. The readers are going to love it. The fans are going to
love it. I don't know. I'm not
it.
So sure. I'm not sure about that.
Rafer Guzman, Kristen Meinzer, those are your movies for this part of the week. There'll be more later.
Much more later.
Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday. Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway. The Movie Date podcast themselves. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.